News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
807 FM Talk 106.5. Tuesday is the day. We welcome the commentary of Quinn Hillier from the Washington Examiner. QuinnHillier.com, of course.
Yeah, good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So, obviously, we have a lot to talk about because a lot has happened since we actually spoke on Thursday or Friday, but our usual weekly segment, a lot has happened since
That's true. Quinn called
Tuesday.
Called in randomly.
Yeah, and you knew exactly where I was going. It was all about the Saints win, right?
A lot has happened. Who'd have said they're going to beat the Saints?
But I wanted to open with this because breaking news over the last hour, Sheldon Adelson, a casino magnate out of Vegas, CEO and chairman of Las Vegas Sands Corporation, passed away after battling with cancer, 87 years old. Adelson was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2019, but he was a major GOP donor, giving more than $430 million to conservatives during the 2020 campaign alone. I'll say that again, $430 million for the 2020 campaign. Now, of course, the family, friends of Sheldon Adelson are heartbroken over this, but like we do on this show sometimes, I want to take this political, and how much does losing a major donor like Sheldon Adelson, could that actually hurt the party? I mean, he gave $430 million in this last campaign alone.
Oh, yeah, it definitely hurts the party. It's that combined with their self-inflicted wounds means the Republican Party is in trouble. Look, I can remember when Sheldon Adelson was first becoming a big donor to the Republican Party, and I didn't think that was a very good idea. I didn't like his business. But be that as it may, he certainly wasn't just, you know, your ordinary big donor. He was the super-duper extraordinary donor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think, you know, look, maybe some of his heirs give money, but it takes focus to give that much money in because they're only, you know, certain chunks you can give it in by law. And for him to be gone is yet another blow to the party when it's already suffering.
Yeah, and that is breaking news this morning. Sheldon Adelson dead at 87. Now, yesterday up in D.C., Quinn, House Democrats introduced another impeachment resolution against President Donald Trump for incitement of a, quote, insurrection. And, of course, this comes less than a week after the Capitol riot. And this article of impeachment says the president warrants impeachment, trial, and removal from office. Now, it does appear that they'll talk about this more tomorrow and I think follow through with the impeachment. Democrats said they want to wait 100 days to let Biden get his term started on the right foot. But I think my big question, and a lot of people are asking, can you impeach a president who's no longer in office? What do you know about that, Quinn?
This is a very complicated subject. The idea, the consensus seems to be that you must impeach somebody while they are in office.
Okay.
That the impeachment phase, the House phase, makes no sense if somebody's already out of office. But if the House has impeached, then the Senate can, and I believe there's an example one time when they actually did, not a president, of course, but a judge, or a House member or somebody like that. I've got to go back and see who it was. They can hold the trial afterwards.
Hmm.
And the reason is because one of the penalties that is possible and, in fact, usual for an impeached official is forbidding him from ever holding public office in the federal government again.
Hmm.
And so once the House has acted, the Senate, what the House is saying is we want the Senate to consider whether that is an appropriate penalty for that offense. And so it doesn't matter if somebody's in office or not for the trial part of it, and the Senate can go ahead.
Okay.
So the House does have another, 8 days
mm-hmm.
to act. If they act, then the Senate can do it whenever the heck it wants to.
Okay.
Apparently. There's still some pushback on that from some other constitutional scholars. It's sort of an open question, but that seems to be the consensus.
So, yeah, I didn't realize if that was common, you know, during the impeachment to, I don't know, insert, I don't know if it'd be an extra article or what that says that that person can no longer run for or hold office. But you said that's actually pretty common in impeachment trials.
Oh, in fact, there's impeachment and there's conviction. But for an impeached official, there's only one time that I know of where that was not part of the penalty. And I wish it had been, because that was federal judge Alcee Hastings, but the Senate did not include that as part of the penalty, so they removed him from the judgeship, and he turned around and ran for the House of Representatives 25 years ago, and he's still there.
Wow.
So this would still take a two-thirds majority from the Senate in order to convict, and with this potentially happening, I don't know, 100 days from now, the number that the Democrats put on it, first off, you'll be further away, obviously, from what happened last Wednesday than you are now, when emotions are still very high. But you're going to need two-thirds of the Senate if you're a Democrat and you want the president to convict. I know there have been a lot of Republicans in the Senate that have changed their views over this last week, but surely not
to that
16
degree.
Or 17. I don't know. Would they have enough numbers, Quinn?
Well, if they wait 100 days, they're not going to have enough numbers. Mm-hmm. And that does the public no good to do the impeachment and then wait 100 days before you start a trial. That's insane. That is illogical. It makes no sense.
Yeah, the momentum would kind of be gone, right? So you're talking about a Biden choice for a Department of Justice spot that you've got some inside information about?
Yeah. Okay, so switching gears here. I wrote a column several months ago just as a predicate to say all of this focus on Trump and on an election challenge that has no chance of succeeding is taking away the focus on what Biden is doing to set up his administration, and it's making it harder for conservatives to concentrate on that and on beating him where we can. This is a perfect example. The Justice Department, of course, everybody looks at the Attorney General, but there are about six very key spots at the second level or the third level, division chiefs within justice who also must be confirmed by the Senate, who are crucial, who actually do most of the day-to-day operating of the department while the AG handles the 30,000-foot level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, for the Civil Rights Division, it appears Biden wants to appoint Kristen Clark, I believe her name is.
Okay.
And
that's right, Kristen Clark. That's Kristen. Exactly right.
Okay. I dealt with her more, not directly with her, but with her story 12 years ago, because she was the one who was at the center of the sort of the aftermath of that famous or infamous New Black Panther case.
Mm.
Y'all remember, Black Panthers outside the polls in Philadelphia with their nunchucks threatening voters. They were basically convicted. All they had to do was send the paperwork over to the judge, and then the Obama people came in, and they refused to send the paperwork, and the people went off scot-free. Okay, I was the one who kept that story alive for a year before Fox News
swooped in,
started paying attention.
Right.
Okay. Uh-huh. So I literally was one of the three people that broke the story in the first place. Kristen Clark was like the number two person at the Civil Rights Division at the time, either number two or number three.
Mm-hmm.
She had a couple of meetings there that became very important in that whole case, because it made it much more about much more than the Black Panthers. It was this. She ordered all of the career officials there that if it is a civil rights violation by a black against a white, we don't prosecute it. And we do not enforce the parts of the Voting Rights Act that entail fighting vote fraud because, quote, that doesn't turn out our vote.
Hmm. Our vote?
Our vote, meaning the liberal democratic vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those two things should disqualify anybody from ever working in the Justice Department again. The Inspector General of the Department found it was more likely than not that she had indeed said that. There was enough testimony from enough people that she said it. She denied it. She said she was misinterpreted or whatever. But I talked to the people that were there, and they heard it with their own ears, multiple people. Every decent American, not just every Republican, should oppose Kristen Clark to be head of the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department.
That's very interesting, Quinn. And I want to say something else when we get back from the break. We do need to run to the break here in just a second. But Tucker Carlson tonight also found some stuff that Clark has said in the past. And pretty amazing that Clark will be leading the Civil Rights Division. But I'll let you know what they uncovered on Fox News. And we'll talk more with Quinn Hillier coming up right here on Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwick.
See his work at WashingtonExaminer.com and also QuinnHillier.com. The Max Jones Trilogy is also available on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
It is Quinn Hillier, our Tuesday guest, on FM Talk 106.5.
I think you just said the Mac Jones Trilogy.
What is
Mad.
It?
Mad.
Oh, I thought
you were stuck on the Alabama game from last night.
Quinn, those images can't leave my brain. He threw for like 900 yards last night.
I am responsible for Mac Jones. I got us the national championship.
Congratulations.
I wrote the Mac Jones trilogy.
It's like, you would have to say this was Alabama season was like somebody wrote it. It was so incredible. It wasn't real.
Continuing our underreported conversation about the people that Joe Biden is selecting to fill out his cabinet. We were speaking before the break, Quinn, about Kristen Clark, who has been chosen to head up the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. And you explained some things that she said in the past regarding the new Black Panther Party. Well, and you said you kept this story alive when no one else was talking about it. Well, now some people are talking about it. And Tucker Carlson tonight, they did a little bit of an investigation and went back to Clark's 1994 year as an undergraduate at Harvard, and she wrote, I guess, I don't know, a letter to the editor or what it was, wrote a letter to the Harvard Crimson, the paper there at Harvard, and she did this as the president of the Black Students Association and explained her views on race science. Now, she was an undergraduate that year, not nearly in the position that she is now, but this is what she wrote back in 1994. Please use the following theories and observations to assist you in your search for truth regarding the genetic differences between blacks and whites. One, Dr. Richard King reveals that the core of the human brain is the, quote, locus coeruleus, which is a structure that is black because it contains large amounts of neuromelanin, which is essential for its operation. Two, black infants sit, crawl, and walk sooner than whites. Three, Carol Barnes notes that human mental processes are controlled by melanin, the same chemical which gives blacks their superior physical and mental abilities. Four, some scientists have revealed that most whites are unable to produce melanin because their pineal glands are often calcified or non-functioning, and pineal calcification rates with Africans are 5 to 15%. I don't know. She goes through some stats there, but says this is the chemical basis for the cultural differences between blacks and whites, and she goes on and on. Five, melanin endows blacks with greater mental, physical, and spiritual abilities, something which cannot be measured based on Eurocentric standards. Now, I'm sure there have been letters like this written in newspapers at colleges all across the United States, but this is a person who is about to be in charge of the Civil Rights Division, Quinn.
Well, that is the very definition of racism. I mean, that is saying that there are actual, specific, inherent differences, genetic, between the races. That was everything Martin Luther King fought against. But that is, like, I'm definitely willing to give college students a pass, or at least a large pass, if not an entire one. But that's how she kept operating once she got into public life, and that's the point. Let me repeat again, just let this sink in. She told her people at a so-called brown bag lunch, we do not prosecute, civil rights crimes if they are perpetrated by blacks against whites, because the civil rights laws are there to protect black people, not to protect all people, but to protect black people, period, only. Okay, so if you're the new Black Panthers and you want to intimidate the heck out of somebody, you want to do much worse than these guys did, we don't prosecute them on civil rights violations. Let that sink in, just how disgusting it is. That is not equal justice under the law. The second thing she said is we do not enforce the part of the Voting Rights Act that involves fighting voter fraud,
mm-hmm.
because that doesn't turn out our vote.
Amazing. Now, will Clark have to go through the confirmation process, or is that a position? Okay, she will.
And not just every Republican, all 50 of them should vote against this lady. But so should Joe Manchin of West Virginia. So should Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona. Mm-hmm. Basically, so should every senator who cares at all about fighting racism, about racial equality, about equal justice under the law.
And, well said.
And we also haven't spoken much about Biden's pick for attorney general. I know that Doug Jones, former Alabama Senator Doug Jones, was in the running, but he ends up losing out to former Supreme Court Justice nominee Merrick Garland. Any thoughts on Garland potentially being the next AG?
Yeah, well, this looks like it's going to be a pattern with Biden. He picks a top guy who is not terribly objectionable. Merrick Garland's a good guy. Merrick Garland, he's liberal, but he's well within the mainstream of American tradition. He's honest. I got no problem with that. It's the second-tier people, the Kristen Clarks of the world, that in department after department, what Biden's doing is he's picking the more acceptable, more moderate person at the top, and the second tier is where he's putting in all the radicals that are favored by Kamala Harris.
Hmm.
That should worry people. And we would be paying more attention to it if we were not spending time fighting a fruitless battle to try to get Trump somehow re-inaugurated.
And, go ahead.
Well, have you talked to people who are on the ground in D.C. and what they're going through and what their reality is like right now?
I really actually haven't. I'm on email lists with a number of them, and, they say it's crazy, and they're staying off the street as much as they can, et cetera, et cetera. But I haven't really had many phone conversations. I don't want to bother them. Look, it is clear Washington, D.C. for the last year, because of the virus, has been a zone where everybody's afraid to go on the street anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is, they've had bad outbreaks there, plus they've got a mayor who's cracking down harder than even makes sense. And now with all this on top of it, people they're sort of shell-shocked.
Great information today, Quinn. We really appreciate you coming on with us once again. For people to follow you online, read what you're writing, and also the Mad Jones Trilogy. How can they get in touch?
Well, you can, first of all, go to QuinnHilliard.com and sign up for the newsletter that comes out once a week. It's free. Push the yellow subscribe button. Or just Google my name in Washington Examiner. You'll see all my stuff day by day. And please do go on Amazon and order Mad Jones Heretic.
Here we go.
All right. Thank you, Quinn. Have a good one. That's Quinn Hilliard, QuinnHilliard.com. And coming back,
Mac Jones quarterback.
Let's talk a little bit about this Parler, Twitter, Facebook thing going on when we get back.
Yeah, and talk with you, 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5. You are listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Looks like a start to a nice week here. It's Tuesday, so second start to the nice week. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, everybody.
Now, I know you're fired up after last night's game.
That's right. That is that was just a that was a fun thing to watch. Let's put it that way.
I would say so. Another fun thing to watch is the cars stream off the lot at McConnell Automotive because you got great deals.
That's right. We got $5,500 on the hood of pickup trucks. We got some great deals on used cars. January is the used car month. I mean, we've got diesels. I keep on hot starping about it. We got diesels. We got Z71s. We got Tahoes, Yukons. Anything used, we've got it. You can check all those cars out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And, any questions, call Gene or I, 251-476-4141. We'll always try to answer all your questions. Don't forget, we'll buy your car. Just call us and give us a VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Okay. We turn our attention where now, Dalton? Oh, yeah, I know we wanted to get to Parler and the way that thing all went down over the weekend. And Parler is fighting back.
Yeah, well, there's so much that's going on nationally here over the last week, and really all of it originating for the most part from D.C. Of course, you have the House Democrats now who are once again voting to impeach President Trump the second time his term. And we spoke with Quinn Hillier about that for a time earlier this hour. But the House Democrats wanting to impeach President Trump for what they said was inciting the riot at the Capitol last week. Now, they have said they want to hold off for 100 days before the actual impeachment trial. So we will see how that plays out. At the same time, you know, inauguration is coming up here on January the 20th, and there's some security concerns around D.C. after what happened last week, and it appears that they will be at least a little bit more prepared for the crowds on January, 17th through 20th, whenever people are starting to plan to start protesting out there. But right now, D.C. is making all of the right announcements and saying that I think they'll have 15,000 National Guard members out there and ready just to be prepared for any kind of violence.
National Park Service on Monday said it was suspending tours of the Washington Monument. Mm. So that's part of that. That's until January 25th or longer due to credible threats from groups involved in some of the violence we've seen. The temporary closures will include National Park Service public facilities, parking areas, and roadways. So there you go. If you're heading up to see the Washington Monument, that's not going to happen between now and January 24th.
And President-elect Biden still plans to have the inauguration where they scheduled it, right out there in D.C. I know some security advisors have said they'd prefer that Biden were like in a football stadium or somewhere that they'd be more able to kind of secure the place. But all of that happening, and we also have a huge argument about online speech and what should or should not be allowed, with first Twitter and Facebook and Instagram kicking the president off of their social media sites and not allowing him to post at least through the inauguration. That was the first major story from last week. But then came the crackdown on Parler,
right,
which was and is or I don't know is or was an upcoming competitor to those other social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. I can't explain to you how large Facebook and Twitter are in the online world.
If we saw the numbers where Parler was and where they were, that would explain it a little bit, which I don't have those numbers in front of me, but Parler was, you know, they were a baby, an infant baby as opposed to them.
And these top tech companies basically used national security as an argument for completely shutting Parler down.
They did.
Basically gave them some terms that they said they would have to abide by, or they would take them off of their the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, and then eventually Amazon Web Services, who hosts so many sites, but they did host the Parler site. I believe they said that Parler would have to add to their terms of the agreement for when you use the site that if you used, I don't know what the exact term was, but inflamed rhetoric or try to start something, then they would just take Parler off of their app stores and off the website. And obviously, if you can't be downloaded to iPhones or phones that use the Google Play Store and your own web host kicks you off, that makes it pretty tough for you to
– You're nothing.
– to compete in the social media game.
Yeah.
And so Parler, the argument here is twofold. There's – were Twitter and Facebook within their rights to kick the president off of their social media sites? And then the second discussion here is this a monopoly, a true monopoly? Did they – I think that the word that Sean used yesterday was a not necessarily a conspiracy, but you have these huge tech companies, basically down the line, the same tech companies that were donating to John Ossoff in Georgia for the Georgia Senate runoff race. Apple, Google, Amazon, Twitter, and Facebook kind of all, it seemed, got together and got on the same page in order to take Parler, completely take their knees out from under them. And it's a good thing for Twitter and Facebook because they can continue to grow as they kneecap one of their upcoming competitors.
Yeah, but are they growing? Because now the backlash to Twitter, Facebook, and on has been a lot of people just silencing them, hopping off of that. And also Parler was in the middle of the greatest growth spurt that they'd had in the three-day period after the, you know, what happened and Trump was silenced, they were having record, you know, sign-ups, whatever you want to call it.
And Parler was so sought after that even after they were removed from the app stores, another app named Parler that's spelled differently shot up to the top of the charts.
Yeah.
That's how badly people wanted to download Parler to their phone. And Twitter, people are also, you know, answering with their pocketbooks here. Twitter's stock fell pretty sharply yesterday after they announced that they had banned the president. What was the numbers here? It said they fell as much as nearly 10% early Monday and then paired some losses and were trading down 6% by midday yesterday. So I don't know where they stand now, but a lot of people left Twitter in droves, and also Twitter removed a whole lot of people yesterday. A lot of people they said were associated with QAnon, the conspiracy theory group there. So what I was reminded of, and initially when Twitter and Facebook did this and Instagram took the president off and then made it so hard for Parler to even compete, I was thinking, man, this is just wrong because they hold so much of the market share, these two companies.
Yeah, who decides what's inflaming or whatever the term is? You know, who is the decision maker as to that language goes over the line at this point?
And it's almost like they hold a greater responsibility for, some would say, shaping the national discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say letting the national discourse kind of run its own course. But I was reminded here over these last couple days because there are other competitive sites or sites that want to be competitors to these big three that are flourishing now as well. I think there was one called Gab. And
Gab is out there,
another
yeah.
site similar to Facebook called WeMe, I think, or MeWe. Somebody can correct me on the text line.
Some of Jeff's guests are like on all of those, and at the end of their segment, they spit off all of these different places where you can find them, and some of those I didn't even know existed, but they're out there.
So, and Twitter and Facebook, they do get some help from the government, that Section 230, which basically keeps them from being held liable from speech on their sites. But what I was getting to, what I was reminded of, is the internet is a very big place, and whether people find an alternative or not, I think that if they feel they're being cracked down on and not allowed to say their own opinion on whatever side it may be, even if it's the AL.com high school message boards, mm-hmm. for instance, the people are just going to leave if they feel that they're not being heard.
That's a great point.
There will be a competitor that comes from this,
that's
more okay with allowing free speech. And maybe cracking down on Twitter and Facebook just for this alone is not warranted, because I think that there will be other sites that will come along and that Facebook and Twitter will regret doing the things they've done here over these last few years.
Sounds like you, Dalton Horwick, have been personally wounded by some of the comments on AL.com.
the high school message board specifically.
where you roam. 845 FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5. Interesting reading on the text line. We'll get to that.
Yeah, this segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Find them online as well, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Local company, and they provide great results. So I was thinking about this last night as I finished putting together some Christmas gifts for my firstborn daughter. And I know we're like 2.5 weeks out of Christmas now, but I had a little something going on during Christmas. So
you're building Christmas gifts for your daughter? You're assembling them?
Yes.
Baby.
Just put together the Jeep Power Wheel that she will be absolutely wrecking our backyard with here in the next few days. And I was thinking, you know, the things that I'm putting together now and the gifts that I'm giving to my kids now will be junk one day.
Now
they are the coolest, hottest thing in the house, but one day I'll be looking at all that and I'll say, what have I done?
And I hate to be the one to tell you this, you've got a house full of garbage. these precious jewels that you think are so wonderful,
yeah.
As does your two-year-old, no.
So I know a lot of you are looking around the house, looking in the backyard, and you're seeing these things that were once nice and brand new and usable, and now
and
they are.
You should
see
Dalton's house. It's worse than yours.
And now it's just junk,
yep.
And maybe too much junk for you to move. Maybe it's too heavy. Maybe it's some of those like old TVs, and you don't know how to properly dispose of it so that you're doing right by the environment.
You kind of bit off more than you can chew, didn't you, there?
Yes. So call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Set up your appointment. They'll find a day that works for you, and they'll come out at a nice time, get rid of that junk for you. And if it's stuff that is able to be donated as well, they will separate that from the pile and make sure it goes to those who are in need. So give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and set your appointment now.
Fred says these popular social media platforms bow to their gods, the elite that pull the strings of national and world economy forums, power, greed, Vanity and Pride. He's got a point. Buck, our man Buck, says Twitter won't allow me to delete my account because they've already suspended me. So he's kind of like in limbo. He can't leave yet. He's like in, he's in Twitter quarantine.
Yeah,
and he wants to leave, but he can't.
Yeah, I wonder when did they suspend you, Buck? Was that here in this last week? Wow. As they suspended tens of thousands of people, or was that
yesterday?
Prior?
Talked about his YouTube channel.
Yeah,
YouTube gone channel. In a flash.
Amazing, Buck getting kicked off of every website. Dan reminded me we were talking about the power that some of these big tech firms hold over America right now. He said that's an oligopoly by definition, and that sounds exactly right. I get my opolies confused very often. And Terry said that one site I was talking about that I believe they set it up to look like Facebook. He said that one's called MeWe. He also said, gun groups galore, I feel they will be the next target. Also, Facebook yesterday, they suspended a group. I think it was like law enforcement something or other. It had over 900,000 members, and they completely struck that group from the Facebook group's pages. So a lot of crackdowns at Facebook and Twitter, and we can continue talking about that in the future. All right, let's head to the phone lines, and James in Mobile is
James.
James, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Dalton. This is just, I'm a combat engineer, of course. You know
yes,
me.
I do.
Part of what engineers do, along with blowing things up and rebuilding them, is they go out. The combat part is reconnaissance. When you have this many diversions within the internet, and the higher anarchy is influencing this, you will not get the right information. There was a thing this weekend in church about using the word Kool-Aid about the Jones incident.
Right, drinking the Kool-Aid.
The people. This is massive Kool-Aid. It is massive distraction from one thing to the other. This has been going on. It's, you know, it's a biblical thing, but it's been going on for years. Accusing one or the other, making up lies, just to have the conversation there to distract the people from the truth. But to have a higher anarchy of government manipulating, which is not what we wanted, the internet, I mean, I'm sure most people didn't want this, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you, James.
I just wanted to get a Brave score.
Yeah,
it's come to this.
It has come to this. I think I was telling somebody off the air a while back, the internet was really awesome for a good 10 or 15 years, and then it's kind of being used against the American people in a major way right now. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of conversations on that yet to come. When he said massive Kool-Aid, all I can think of is the Kool-Aid man now. So,
yeah, he would bust through those walls. By the way, to lighten the mood a little bit, Dalton, Keith G. says he's been doing a lot of Power Wheels modification. So he's like a Power Wheel gearhead.
Yeah.
And so he said, when my munchkin gets too big or loses interest in it, I'll let you know. I've had fun tinkering. He may have a Power Wheels that like gets 60 miles an hour.
That's
or
what I was
like that.
See, I was just running the standard Power Wheel and still waiting for the battery to charge. It says it gets 5 miles an hour at top speed. So I think you're right. I think Keith is able to kind of...
He's tinkering with it.
Yeah, some Fast and Furious stuff going on there in the Keith garage.
Can you imagine Fast and Furious competitions with Power Wheels?
I am worried about my daughter going 5 miles an hour, not for her safety, but for the safety of my shins and items that I have laying around the house. So I will keep you updated on how Sweaty Baby does with the new Power Wheels. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, another great show in the that's coming up. He's got Dan Gaynor coming up in the first hour with the Media Research Center. Also, State Representative Steve McMillan, Alabama GOP Chairwoman Terry Lathan. You don't want to miss that interview coming up at 11 o'clock. And then former U.S. Representative Parker Griffith also coming up on the Jeff Poor Show.
Good guess line. If you don't know who a lot of these people are, if you haven't heard them when they chime in with what their takes are, check it out. Really, really insightful, and you'll learn a lot about Alabama politics, and they also will occasionally spread out to the national level, and it's almost impossible not to do that now.
You know, when you go out and shop, you have quite a few decisions to make. Should you go cheap with some things and save some money, or should you go for quality and pay a little bit extra?
Okay.
And there's a new poll out there, a new survey, where they found that more than half of people say they sometimes go a go for a cheap or generic option when they're buying something to save money. But there are a lot of cases where people are not willing to compromise and spend more money to get the better option. So some of the most popular answers for things where people will pay more for better quality.
Okay.
Quality toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think
go above and beyond.
I go for 12-ply with the toilet paper. That's my choice.
Says a lot.
Flag on the play?
This may be a flag.
Mattresses. I've heard that, you know, you spend so much time on a mattress, that's worth paying the extra quality for.
I agree.
Coffee brands that people are willing to spend more money
on. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm not involved in that conversation.
This one gets me here. Wi-Fi quality and speed. That's a big one for me.
Sure.
I did cut the cable a couple years ago, so I need that internet speed. Chocolate. That's a strange one. Are you willing to pay more for chocolate or go for the cheaper option?
That's a flag, because I'll tell you what.
And this may be a flag.
I mean, Hershey's was good for my grandparents. It was good for my parents. And Hershey's is, I'm going to stick with the brand name right there. I'm not going over to Europe to get white chocolate and all that stuff. Not going to that marketplace.
You also have shampoo, ketchup, cell phones, brands of potato chips, haircuts. That's an important one. Also, paint colors and restaurants. I think I go for the cheap option just about all the time. That's what I've learned about myself today.
You're a young daddy of two. Goes along with it. 859 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and back with you tomorrow morning. Jeff Ford is next.